Thank you so much for listening to Elevated on Radio Pulpit. I am Jenna Liebelang, and joining me now is our guest. I've taken ample time to introduce him to you, or what they say on paper about him. I've taken you through some of the music that he has had a hand in, but now we're going to get to know the man behind the ministry, the man behind the sounds, TK Maestro, TK Mabelani. Good day. Thank you so much for joining us here on Elevated today.
Good morning, Jenny. Thanks for having me, and good morning to your listeners.
How are they treating you in Boston, first of all? How are they treating our people in Boston?
Hey, so far so good. Boston is actually very similar to Johannesburg, culturally speaking. So yeah, it's been good, except for the winter here, which is extremely cold.
When it snows there.
Yeah, it snows.
So if
Every
you,
year it sometimes gets to about negative 16 Celsius.
goodness. So
So
that means you're going to have a white Christmas. And this song, Dwell, is not giving white Christmas. It's
it's
giving
not giving white Christmas at
Mzansi
all.
Christmas. It's giving Mzansi Christmas. But we'll get to that a little bit later, TK. I must say, your not your testimony, I don't want to call it your testimony, the way that God has weaved you together, the complexity of who you are is very intriguing, because from music to then, for instance, the studies that you majored in, like trying to bring it all together, it's only God who can do that. If you were to describe how God has weaved you together, who you are, and who you've discovered God has created you to be, how would you do that besides just describing yourself as a worship leader or a musician?
Yeah, that is a very fascinating question, generally. I think the Lord, one thing that I can say about him is that he wastes nothing. And so he finds a way to use every aspect of you, everything about you, your family background, your history, your interests, your passions, which is just something very beautiful about how God redeems someone's entire story. And for me, I was born basically on the altar. My father is a preacher, and I've always loved being in church and just being in the house of the Lord. I've always loved music, but I've also always loved computers. I've always loved problem solving, and I've had the opportunity to work for consulting firms and things of that nature. And it's just been so interesting to see how the Lord brings things together, and things that I thought had nothing to do with each other, he just starts connecting the dots, and opens up so many avenues for the future. So yeah, I have a wide, diverse, fortunate enough to just have a wide-ranging background, and I'm able to bring that to my music in a unique way.
How does computer science, because you're a computer science major, and making music and ministry come together? I'm just intrigued by that, because there might be somebody who's been majoring or studying computer science, but they have a gift for music and they are not seeing how it will come together, how it will work together, not necessarily directly, but how God can use it all together. What's your experience with that?
It's just been an interesting journey of discovering all the possibilities that technology can play in music. And one of the things so when I studied computer science, straight out of school, I became a software developer, and so that helped me to understand how we build hardware, build computers, and I mean almost all music today is pretty much made in a small little box, a computer box, on music software, on DAWs. And so music is really just programming and making sure that you put the notes all in the right order and in the right sequence that is pleasing to the ear. And so, having had an early background in computer science allowed me to understand fundamentally how, music frequencies are put together. And if you have a great ear, that's a great plus. But it's allowed me to be able to, program my own software, program my own synthesizers on the keyboard. And also, interestingly, now I'm working with a friend of mine at MIT to electrify Mbira and to add some MIDI software to that beautiful Zimbabwean instrument. And
Wow.
so that also plays into like how computer science can actually help us in the music industry.
Now, TK, I want to take a few steps back here. I have to say upfront, I am a pastor and I have a kid, but I'm not insinuating anything by my next question. I'm just asking you. But they say that pastors' kids are problematic. And I want you to be honest with me. Were you a problematic pastor's kid? Why are pastor's kids perceived as problematic in your experience? What do you think it is? Especially those with a musical gift, eh? Because a lot of pastor's kids are very gifted in music. They are incredible psalmists. They and the devil comes for them. But were you problematic, TK?
I'd like to think I wasn't. It can be tough, depending on the, also just the background, the particular Christian background that you come from, or, the church that you come from, and how your family is equipped to handling that. Typically, in most Black Christian churches, I would say that it's very common that the pastor is, he's pastoring alone, which is different from like our multicultural churches these days, where typically there'll be an associate pastor, or there'll be a different pastors helping each other carry the weight. But my story is the typical, the Black pastor who starts a church on his own, and there's generally no one to help him out. So my dad was actually a full-time pastor and a full-time editor at the SABC, and so he had basically had two full-time jobs, and God bless him for that. But what that did was, we grew up in church, and there was a lot of pressure on us as kids to just be perfect, for lack of a better word. And your pastor is the main guy in the church. You better be on top of the ball, and there's just this spotlight that's cast on you. And no one kind of wishes for that, but it can go south if your family or the church doesn't know how to handle that and treat each child as uniquely as possible. So by God's grace, I think, my parents were able to handle that safely and ensure that we grew up, in just a safe space, and that kind of eased the pressure off to be ourselves. And by God's grace, I'm still here today.
Amen, amen. And that pressure is not just for pastors, by the way, it's for Christians. Anybody who professes their faith publicly, your children automatically comes under scrutiny. And somehow your faith as a parent is measured by the behavior of your kids, for instance. Yourself and your beautiful wife, you have two children. What perhaps have you
We have four
taken?
now.
You
So
have four now.
we have three and one on the way.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. That's
Thank you so
incredible.
much.
Is that a Boston baby?
Yes, this is a Boston baby, and we're just so thrilled. So we have two girls right now, two girls, one boy, and we're expecting another girl.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. Congratulations. You're reminding me now last night at a home cell. or our a super salad church, one of the fathers in the church, he was saying he's got 9 children, and he said the Lord
Wow.
not only said multiply, he said fill the earth. So you and that papa, you are busy filling the earth. You're doing the Lord's work. But what I wanted to ask you is, what lessons as a Christian father, as believers, do you take from your parents, perhaps in the way that you're raising your children? Or what advice would you give to parents who perhaps feel that pressure of being Christian parents? Your advice.
That's such a great point that you're making. One of my favorite pastors says that God doesn't have grandchildren. We are all God's children, whether you're a parent, whether you're a child. And unfortunately, we can't get to heaven through our parents' faith. But it also means that we each get to have a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and that we each get to walk this journey of faith personally with him. And so my advice to parents is that, like Hannah, prays in the Bible where she's like, Lord, if you give me a son, I will dedicate him to you. The best we can do is really to just bring our kids with us, let them be a part of our lives and see our faith and respond to God by seeing the testimony of our lives, and that they need to make their own decisions and come to faith themselves and make a decision for themselves. And the best that we can do is just to lift them up in prayer and trust that the Lord has a plan for them just like he has a plan for us.
Amen. How old is your eldest?
My oldest is nine.
Nine years
9 years
old.
old. Yeah. Almost teenager.
That is where I wanted to go with my next question. There's so many challenges for parents of preteens or teenagers in 2025 in this generation with social media, for instance, music, as a worship leader, as a musician yourself, the lyrics in songs, the spiritual things behind songs, and now the TikTok generation, and songs are made popular through TikTok, and so your children are dancing to these songs with all these weird lyrics. How do you handle that as a father and as a musician? What's your advice for people who might be struggling with that? Because there are subliminal messages in this music.
Yeah, that is such a good point, especially in the day and age that we're in today. We've made a decision as a family, not to get our kids' phones until cell phones until they are, until they turn 16. And it's made us very unpopular amongst the other parents and even amongst our own kids, of course. It's so surprising that even though our kids are not on social media and they don't have phones, they still know all these songs. They pick them up at school, or they pick them up wherever, if they're at a birthday party or something and it's a popular song. I don't want to name any artists offend people, but we can try our best to kind of shield them, but somehow they come home singing the latest this or that song. I'm like, how did you do you know what those lyrics mean? Have you ever Where did you hear that song? And we've realized that we can do our best to try and shield them, but the culture is just so pervasive that they're gonna encounter this. And the best thing that we can do is to teach them to process things for themselves and make healthy decisions, because we're not always going to be there, to guard them or to make sure they don't hear the wrong thing. And so what we've started to do is we've just started to analyze lyrics. So we'll pick one of their favorite songs and we'll just read it together and measure it against scripture and say, hey, the Bible says, think on these things, think on things that are true, think on things that are, think on the things that are above. Is this true? Is this something that is true? Is this something that glorifies the Lord? And, they are able to recognize that, hey, even though I don't really understand what these lyrics are saying, but I can see that they are not honoring to God, or they are not honoring to the person that they're singing about, or whatever the case may be. And that's really been a breakthrough moment, I think, for us, just realizing that they are able to discern, and that the Lord is with them. Another famous preacher that I like says that our children do not get a junior Holy Spirit.
Come
No,
on.
they get the same Holy Spirit that you and I receive. And I'm grateful that, it seems like the Lord is with them and is speaking to them in his own way. So that, that would be my advice to parents with young children, is to, to a certain point you can shield them. And beyond that, you need to start giving them the tools and preparing them to process things in a way that reflects their faith.
Incredible practical advice there. If you just tuned in, I'm speaking to TK Maestro, and we're going to be playing his brand new song with King D Music in just a few moments for you, and then we'll unpack that. But before we do, TK, I want to thank you for just sharing with our listeners a different side of you today. We've gotten to know you as a dad, as a son, so as a husband a little bit. So I really do appreciate it. Before we listen to the song, if you would share with us the most difficult part in your life so far, or a season in your life that was extremely difficult or perhaps challenging that you've overcome or that you've grown through, that you can say truly, if it wasn't for God, I wasn't going to get through that situation or that season, what would that be?
Yeah, absolutely. What comes to mind is definitely the season where COVID was breaking out. It seems like such a distant memory right now, but us being in America, I am currently serving as a worship pastor here in Cambridge, and we were supposed to come here in 2020. So we sold our house, we sold all our cars, and we were ready to move. And then all of a sudden there's this virus coming out of China and everything is closing down. All the embassies are closed. There's no flights going anywhere. And we were stuck here in South Africa, for 2, 3 years. And I was really confused. I would go to God just weeping in prayer, like, God, I thought this is what you told us to do. I've basically given up my corporate life and climbing the corporate ladder to follow you in ministry and music and make this thing full time. But it just seems like you've brought us to a place of wilderness, and we've sold everything, and as a consequence, we had to move in with my in-laws, so my parents' family, which for her was lovely to be able to, be with her father every day during COVID. But for me, it was a nightmare, as you can imagine, and I mean, her family is amazing. They're incredible. But living with your in-laws, all of a sudden during COVID for 2 years is not easy. But yeah, I was just doubting, if I had heard the voice of the Lord, doubting my faith, doubting, just his ability to bring us out of a situation. And there's so much more, excuse me, that I could say about that time. But once we finally made it to the US, and the first year, I remember thinking back through our first year here in Boston and just realizing how tough it was, the culture shock, and us having to adjust as a family, COVID, as a family together, and being in isolation really prepared us for what was ahead for our first year here in Boston. If it wasn't for that season, I don't know if we would still be in Boston today. We probably would have packed our bags and come back. So I'm just so grateful for the Lord for bringing us through that. And that's That's something that I will cherish forever, that he's brought us through.
We give God the glory. We give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. And I know that has encouraged somebody. TK, congratulations. This is an amazing song. And as I said, it's really giving a little bit of festive, a little bit of celebration. What's the testimony behind this song?
Yeah, this song, man, is again, we were speaking about a difficult season earlier, and COVID was definitely one of those seasons for me. But I just remember thinking through COVID and just reading Psalm 27 verse 4, that no matter what is going on, that I want to find myself in the presence of God. And you know, David speaks about being in the house of the Lord, but we know that that's a metaphor for his presence, because in other places he says, where can I go from your presence? You know, if I make my bed in hell, you are there. And so, you know, that's just where the song comes out of, is just this desire to stay upbeat and to stay always in the presence of the Lord, no matter what season I find myself in.
I really do love that, and I love the fact that it has this amapiano vibe to it, or this, you know. In the past, they would use gospel songs in amapiano.
Right.
Right now, we're finding gospel amapiano, and you know, a lot of genres, not just amapiano itself. Why is that important?
Yeah, so I think one of the things that I tried to do with my music is to reach people who typically wouldn't pick up a Bible, but they would listen to that type of music. And so, you know, I feel that the Lord, he is the ultimate author of creativity. And, you know, sometimes certain types of music are associated, you know, not with being a Christian, or not, you know, not with Christian culture. But I strongly believe that, you know, the Lord calls us to reach cultures that seem like they are far from him. And even Paul, you know, when he's encouraging people in his letters, speaks of being all things to all men, that he may win some. And so that's really the heart behind this, is that, you know, if I'm targeting people who would typically enjoy amapiano music, but wouldn't necessarily pick up a Bible. And I think it's important that Christian creatives be able to reach, you know, whatever sphere that they're in, to make sure that the glory and the kingdom of God is reaching those areas as well.
Now, you worked with King D Music on this song, and I want you to tell us the truth. Does he ever sleep? Because he's just collaborating and producing. Does the man sleep?
I don't think so, because sometimes I'll be, you know, on my phone texting him and thinking, ah, no, he's probably asleep, and it's 6 hours ahead in South Africa. It's like 3 there. 3 in the morning, and then he'll respond. So I think there's some truth to what you're saying. I don't think he sleeps at all.
But most musicians, including you, because the inspiration comes at the weirdest time, for instance,
That's right.
and it's a, you know, we now collaborate across continents, and it's the time difference. So we have to give a shout out to your wife as well, the one who agreed to selling everything and following the voice of the Lord, the one who makes those sacrifices, your beautiful wife, Tlolo. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Truly, yeah, that's great. Yeah, shout out to you, babe. Love you so much.
Tlulu, I want you to take us a bit deeper on the importance of marrying your destiny partner. Marrying, I don't want to say the right because people sometimes misinterpret that, but marrying the one who God has predestined to journey with you. How do you know it's the right one, and why is that important?
That is a such a big topic. We could be here all day, and
Okay,
we were just talking.
let's say what makes her the right one? That might be a better
Right.
way to phrase it to you. What makes Tulu the right one?
You know, ever since I met her, she just had this passion for life, and she just loved to laugh. And it's just something that always attracted me to her. But probably the biggest thing was that we were just aligned in terms of daring to believe God for a destiny greater than what we could imagine. And it's so important to, to the Bible speaks about being not being unequally yoked. And, we sometimes think of, a Christian and a non-Christian when it comes to that verse. But it also speaks of, to a certain extent about aligning your faith journeys. And, are you guys actually destined to go to the same areas in the Lord that he's taking you through? And so it's very important to find someone who, not only aligns with your values, but, aligns with where the Lord is taking you in your life and is able to support you and you're able to support them. And there's been, different seasons in our lives where, for a season, she will quit her job and start a business. Or she will work and be the breadwinner, and I quit my job and went to go study music, and now we're in the US, and so there's different seasons in life, and when we're on the same page in terms of what the Lord is doing and where he's taking us and what we're willing to risk as well, then it becomes easy to make those decisions together as a family and as a married couple.
Well, we salute her as well, and we really appreciate all the sacrifices that she's making for the kingdom. May the Lord continue to bless your family at TK and the incredible work that you are doing. As we wrap up, I said I'm going to ask you this question. You've worked with so many artists. We will worship. By the way, we will worship incredible, incredible what they are doing in the kingdom, and especially the music they brought out over the years. You've worked with Ntokozo, Mbam, the likes of Chaim Tetwa, Luis Obala as well. Okay, let me be Christian and not say who's your favorite gospel artist that you've worked with. But let me ask, who's the artist that you've worked with that you've learned a lot from, that you value their work ethic, for instance, and who you perhaps would love to work with still in the future, just briefly.
Yeah, I think Luis Obala is an incredible human being. I think I learned a lot from him, from, just being in the music industry, but also just the boldness in which he approaches his faith. He's the same whether he's on stage or off stage or in the studio. And that was really impactful on my journey of being an artist. And in terms of someone that I would love to work with, is Ty Tribbett. I think that he's just such an amazing artist. And he's I had the privilege of hearing him preach at his church as well. And he just lives the gospel in a way that I think few gospel artists in America do. And so I really look forward to working with him one day.
We look forward to hearing what you guys come up with. Thank you so much for your time once again, TK. If people want to download the song or stream the song, if they want to follow your journey, how do we do that? How do we connect with you?
Yeah, so if you want to connect with me, my handles are TK Maestro, TIKAE Maestro on all social platforms. And the song is available to stream wherever you love to listen to your music. So please go check it out. And thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much, TK Mabalane or TK Maestro. Dwell is the name of that song. Go and stream it and let's have a glorious time in the presence of the Lord.